Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today's Thursday, July 23rd, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're having a wonderful week. Hope you've enjoyed SEC Media Days. I don't know, man. I just don't know. I don't know. I used to look forward to it a whole lot more. Even last year, I think I'm of the mindset that maybe like Shane Beamer is and the players and look, I'm not. That's kind of, I mean, I have the mindset. So many people in my business, I think like a coach and a player. No, I don't. Obviously, if you've listened to me, I think more like an entertainer most of the time. But I think I'm with them. I just kind of wanted to start and get here, you know. Not that I don't care about practice and scoop and player information and analysis and all the good preseason stuff. I just, you know, talking season for me at this point with this program falls by the wayside. You know, there's nothing to really talk about, you know, except, you know, if you want to talk about players doing well and who's good and all that, and they don't really talk about that, you know, because I guess the depth chart and all that's a state secret, you know, element of surprise on Kent State, right? I'm just kidding right there. I get it. But yeah, there's not a lot of meat on the bone with South Carolina right now as far as this season. You know who the players are. You know who they got from the portal. You know the freshmen that are probably going to play. All that's probably going to evolve somewhat over the coming weeks. But with a 4-8 record last year, it leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. You're just ready to get out there and go play. It's like when you get your fanny kicked in a game. Most folks will tell you, and fans included, let's just get back out there and play. You know, especially when it's a game where you just don't play your best and you know you could do better. Let's just go play. Let's just get out back out there. Just got to get back out there and play. You don't really want even an open date unless, you know, with the open date scenario, unless you're making changes like as South Carolina did last year, and it paid off for a half. But you know, then you could use an open date. But most of the time, if you're a good team, and I think South Carolina was a better team on paper than it ended up being, there were some issues, systemic issues that took place last year. Again, I don't think it was a playoff team. Looking back on it, maybe I thought maybe Lenore Sellers would just go crazy like he did against Clemson every single time and he'd carry him, and that's happened before, but that obviously did not at all. And so, you know, that team is probably 7-8 win team, you know, tops. And if you think about some of the losses that they blew that they really had, I don't necessarily include LSU in that because LSU was storming the gates late and kept turning it over, and they weren't playing all that well either, which maybe would have given Carolina a chance. But, you know, Alabama, Clemson, and Texas A&M certainly. You know, so that didn't happen. They didn't even get to 7 or 8. You went 4 and 8. And knowing that that team was capable of more, the program's capable of more, there's more talent on the roster than, you know, that record. And it was a tough schedule for sure. But you just want to get back out there and play. You know, and really, from our perspective on the outside, I know inside internally it's you know, probably a different story. And I think some of you probably would rather go play Kent and Towson to open the season. Just to kind of get the kinks out. Starts are big starts around here have not been a thing. It hadn't always been pretty at the beginning of the year in early September. But, you know, really, to get everybody to kind of believe, you could probably kind of get through the month of September. You know, I think Mississippi State is a dangerous football team coming into Williams-Brice Stadium for the SEC home opener or opener. I'm concerned that they are going to be used to what South Carolina is going to unleash. I hope it's an unleashment on offense this year. I think they're going to be improved defensively from a coaching standpoint. And I think personnel wise, I don't know. You know, they're a really a on defense, a lot of portal, and they got a good defensive back whose name escapes me. But I mean, they haven't been very good on defense. But Zach Arnett's been good on defense. Zach Arnett's also used to coordinating defenses in conjunction with a tempo offense because he worked for Mike Leach. I don't think he likes tempo offense. I don't think he likes the air raid because his 1 year as the head coach there, he did away with it. But you know, he's used to that. They are going to be a team that goes to Minneapolis the week before and plays a Minnesota team and program that, if anything, is physical. So they're going to get that physical challenge where South Carolina's playing an FCS team and a G5 before that. So you worry about them coming in and hitting you in the mouth. And then you worry about all the stats with Beamer's teams don't come back, et cetera, et cetera. That could change. I think all roads lead to offense on those stats. And so they're a dangerous team. But you beat Mississippi State, who's been kind of in a just all kinds of bad things happened with Leach dying and then Arnett and then, you know, the transfer portal era and the money and all that good stuff. You know, you kind of look at it and you're like, well, Carolina should beat Mississippi State. And they should. They have not lost to Mississippi State at home since 1998. And I remember that game because it was a noon kickoff. I was in college. My buddy and I were going to go, but we were living up in Spartanburg at the time. And I think we stayed at Magnolia Street Pub a little too late to get up and make a nooner. But so we get up and watch it. Mississippi State returns the opening kickoff for the touchdown, 38-0 at Williams-Brice in the heat. Yeah, that was a blowout. Mississippi State, that team that year, by the way, under Jackie Sherrill, played for the SEC Championship in Atlanta and won the West. This is what was their best team. That's the last time they've won. Carolina won on the fade, kind of broke some bad mojo against the Bulldogs in 2000. Shout out Eric Kimry. They blew them out in Jackie Sherrill's last year and Lou Holtz's fourth year, 34-10. I was at that one. Routinely beat Dan Mullen's Mississippi State teams under Steve Spurrier when they played because State came off the schedule and I guess, rotation. Mississippi State and Arkansas used to be permanent opponents, both of them. Well, they beat Dan Mullen's teams. Early there, his early teams, and then they didn't play them. And then Muschamp got his second game, and that was kind of a tough one because South Alabama had beaten Mississippi State the week before, and Carolina had had that nice and really inspiring win at Vanderbilt. But Mississippi State was just better. I mean, they had had a bad day against South Alabama, and beat them 27-14. I'll never forget. I think, you know, Muschamp was probably aware of the fact his offenses weren't that good, but a couple of times at Carolina, one was Tennessee, and he mentioned that he called this play. One was Tennessee, the 15-9 game in 17. He'd call a shot play, you know, he'd tell the offense, okay, just throw a deep first play. You never know. And sure enough, Orth went back, and I think it just went off maybe some of Debo's hands or something. It was close, Mississippi State proceeded to win 27-14. Brandon McIlwain got into that game and ended up starting for a little while, I think. But yeah, that one was a loss. But then they came back. Arnett brought his one team back for a night game at Williams-Brice, probably one of their best offensive nights ever in 23. But Xavier Leggett, that beautiful crossing pattern where he just housed it. And Carolina won a pretty exciting 37-30 game, Mississippi State and Carolina. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that one. But if you beat them, you beat them routinely, right? You know, so you go and unfortunately, the SEC road opener is, you know, a place where not only does Bama rarely lose at Bryant-Denny, but Kalen DeBoer is significantly better at home than on the road. And at night, he's really tough to beat. So I don't know. I mean, it's the way the schedule sets up is good as far as getting off to a good start, but as far as telling us how good this team can be, I don't know. I think they obviously need to be 3-1 with a 12-team playoff, and you can only have two losses apparently. If you asked Texas about that last year, but so you don't know. And that's kind of my little long and short of it as far as the schedule and all that. And so talking season, I think for a lot of this is just like, all right, let's just get on with it, because I think that most people believe South Carolina is going to be much better this year. There's going to be doubters and haters and, people within the fan base that don't, and a lot of those folks, and if you're listening, I'm not mad at you. It's an opinion. This is America, right? They never wanted Beamer to begin with. Didn't think, it doesn't matter how many top 10 teams he beats. It doesn't matter that, Carolina was having a problem beating Clemson, Kentucky, and Texas A&M, and he's done all that multiple times. It doesn't matter how many good recruits he signs. It doesn't matter how many games he wins. Outside of like a historic championship, and after, and then just like some folks did with Frank Martin, if he goes and has a fantastic historic year, and then 2 years later they're in the Outback Bowl, they're gonna want to fire him, and that's fine. Look, man, I feel bad about this, because like later today I'm going on with Barry Sanderson and Wimp Sanderson in Tuscaloosa for my weekly spot, and I know Barry well, and he's a good guy, and he was on that staff. I wanted Dave Odom fired after the second NIT championship. People thought I was crazy. Was I right? I don't know. And I felt I was at the time, because I felt like those NIT title teams should have been in the NCAA tournament. They'd lose to, Auburn, who was terrible at the time, or somebody late. Dave couldn't figure out the SEC. So I've done that before. I've had coaches that I don't, I'm like, ah, he needs to go. So I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying, there's going to be some Shane Beamer haters amongst us, just like there is with every coach, man, every coach. And so we'll see what happens. There's going to be disgruntlement and stuff, until that happens. But I think by and large, most of the fan base believes this could be a pretty good football team on paper. And I believe that too. I'll just be honest. I'm not going to sit here and predict records. I don't do that. But I look at the schedule, look, kind of read about these other teams. Need to be. I started reading more on Tennessee too. I think some folks are just kind of assuming, in a lot of ways, with the Vols, but they do have a lot of players back, and they did go 8-5 last year. So I get it. I totally get why some people are high on them. And Josh Heupel is an offensive guy, and all that good stuff. So, they've been able to put up points no matter what. But I look at some of these other teams, there's some warts and question marks, and Carolina's got them too. I mean, you talk about talent, and yeah, there's some teams out there, probably more talent than the Gamecocks, but the Gamecocks have quite a bit, especially with some of the quote unquote talented guys that, obviously need to take a step forward, but are close. And I think of a guy like Fred Johnson, who was very inconsistent last year, first year starting at linebacker. And how good can he be if he's more consistent? What if he's more, what if Fred, through 9 of the 12 games this year? Because there's going to be some games where some offensive coordinator and line coach gets cute and they take your linebacker out, of the game with the game planning. That's too good of a league. And there's too many good running backs and things like that for it. Not to have a game where everybody's like going, my God, the linebackers. But what if in 9 of the 12 games, he's like the guy that played against Virginia Tech? That's an incredible player. That's a consistently good player. What if the interior defensive lineman in the aggregate can be on the level of Sanders and Tonka and Boogie and DeAndre Jules before he got hurt a couple of years ago? That's going to help. We talked about Dylan Stewart yesterday. If he's Dylan Stewart and then some this year, and they get help on the other side, which I think they're in better position to do it. There's no offense to Brian Thomas Jr. He's very productive. But you're talking about Julian Walker, Caleb Herring, Anthony Addison, guys like that. You know, I like those guys quite a bit. Not that I didn't like Thomas Jr., I just thought there was some limitation there. And, you know, there may not be as much of a limitation this time around with that rotation. And then, you know, you got some wild cards in that room too, like George Wilson, guys like that. So I look at the talent on the team and I look at the coaching fixes on paper. And I think Carolina's going to have a very good team, but I don't think anybody's going to buy that, or most people aren't going to buy that until after Alabama, maybe on down past Kentucky. I don't know. You know, people ask me a lot. There was a lot of Shane Beamer hot seat talk yesterday on X. Here's my bottom line on that. Can't have another losing season, obviously. Also, you know, and Deputy Smitty made a good point on X yesterday. Poor Deputy Smitty had a, I mean, there are some things, you know, his ex. I don't understand what some people are even thinking, tweeting some of the stuff they tweeted at him from this fan base. Unbelievable. But it's, you know, he was talking about Brent Venables. If Brent went 6-7, Oklahoma would probably fire him. And that's true. That's true. And I just think that when you talk about hot seat, there's a difference between like actual hot seat and hot seat list. And, you know, I think there's some expectations internally this year. I think that you've assembled a roster that's not cheap, with a 50% blue chip ratio, with a quarterback, you know, football people love, special player. You've got a lot of talent, and you lose all of it next year, or a lot of it. Yeah, I think there's some internal expectations to where, you know, you can't have a losing season. And, you know, then it just kind of depends on how everything evolves, right? You know, it's hard to predict. But if you're trying to write a hot seat list in the SEC, which every single body does, there's, you know, because you had all this massive coaching transition last year, you don't put first year coaches on the hot seat. It also depends on what the hot seat is, right? Is Lane Kiffin, are Lane Kiffin and John Summerall and maybe Alex Golish under more pressure than Will Stein and, you know, Clark Lee and Eli Drinkwitz? Yeah. You know, to win, because those places are, they're not exactly patient, right? Maybe then Shane Beamer on its face. Yeah, right. But, you don't put first-year coaches at the top of the hot seat. And to Smitty's point, which I think he's absolutely correct, I wouldn't put Brent Venables at the top of a hot seat list after he took Oklahoma to the playoff in year two in a new league that, coming in offensively especially, they weren't prepared to compete in. I think he did a hell of a coaching job last year. It is Oklahoma, but I saw them getting to eight last year. I didn't see him going to the playoff. I didn't see them walking into Bryant-Denny Stadium and winning. I mean, they won at Bryant-Denny and Neyland Stadium last year. You know, were they as good as Ole Miss? No. And Lane Kiffin showed that. Were they as good as Texas? You know, even if Metier was hurt in that game? No, I don't think so. But hey, they made the playoff, right? And I don't always think the best teams, with the way this league's structured now, make the playoff. So I wouldn't put him up there. I wouldn't put Sarkisian up there, although I think he's got a lot of pressure to win this year. It just makes sense for Beamer to be on it, unfortunately. Unfortunately. And Shane and the staff, and Jamie Bradford reported this 2 days ago on thebigspur.com, he was told that there wasn't a single recruit that didn't bring that up this summer. So those headwinds I was talking to you about, yeah, they were legit. I wouldn't have said it if otherwise. But yeah, a lot of hot seat talk out there. You know, what does he have to do to win? Blah, 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 blah. And I just think, what does he have to do to win? Well, what does he have to do to keep the job? I think win. And I think most of us in our, kind of deep in our minds, some people just don't want to like get let down again. I understand that. I understand that mindset. It's sports, it's entertainment, it's supposed to be fun, right? Why do we want these negative emotions in our lives based on a football team? Because it's the life we chose, correct? So I get it. I'm not going to get me again. Fooled me once. But yeah, and there was a lot of hype last year. It was almost uncomfortable for me. And if things are going good, you guys know me. I'll jump on the bandwagon, wave the banner. But it didn't happen. And so it's almost shocking that it didn't. Yeah, I think we all kind of figured, unless basketball on the men's side shot 50% from three the whole year, the team was going to struggle. I think there was some hope with Maneri, based on the portal class rankings, and but a lot of folks that know college baseball still picked them toward the bottom. Not football, not football, and not Lenore Sellers struggling. So I get it. It's a shock. So that's kind of my TED talk for today. What will we know and when? And so, in conclusion, I'll say this. I think it's going to be the month of September, because you have a gradual, on paper, step up in competition. And I'll tell you this too about Alabama. I mean, we talked to Brett Ciancia from Pick Six Previews yesterday, and he's on. There's two types of thoughts about Alabama. There's one thought that, hey, it's Alabama. They still got a lot of talent. I don't know that those people have checked the roster because, but it's still, I think I looked at their blue chip ratio. I hate to keep bringing up the blue chip ratio, but own three and Rivals calculates it for you. And I love that, I love that kind of just, math because. I think it includes some portal stuff. I don't know, but I like that. Not in terms of ranking the rosters or anything, but to kind of give you a gauge. There's still recruits that, because when you have, I guess, a coaching transition, and Nick Saban was so good at developing players, you knew if you got a good player, 9 times out of 10, unless that guy's just a poop head. And a lot of those guys that were poop heads, and you get a percentage of poop heads before the portal, he would get it out of them or they'd be gone. After the portal happened, those guys left at first sign of trouble. So, I think a lot of folks are saying it's Alabama, the mystique of Saban's still there. And Kalen DeBoer's good football coach, 20-8, took Washington. He's a more with less guy. So you maybe think, well, does he? I mean, it's in the SEC. But honestly, if they had Tennessee on their jersey or Arkansas, I mean, one of those things is not like the other. Ole Miss, I don't know that the expectations would be all that high. And I'll tell you why, it's like Brett said yesterday, his words, not mine. Both lines of scrimmage. And there's two examples. I don't know that they necessarily feel like they fixed their run game. I don't know that Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer particularly care, but I think they love to throw the football, which, was the Mike Price era reincarnated in Alabama. That's A. I think their quarterback situation, if they go with Russell, is going to be fine. My question is, are Grubb and DeBoer going to want that? Because they got good receivers. Their top two or three receivers are good. They don't know about depth, from what I read on Bama Online. Ryan Williams, of course, is the star there. Because I didn't think they did a fantastic job with Jalen Milroe. They certainly did with Ty Simpson. And you got Austin Mack. So they want to throw the ball. My question is with Keelan Russell, is he going to be able to master that pass game? If so, he's special. There's no question about it. And even if they can't block and hand it to the running back and run it, he's going to make do some damage. First year starter, though. Austin Mack is more kind of a statue in the pocket guy, but he can throw. Can they give him time? The big thing for me is defense, too. Now they got some ballers on defense, but it's their secondary that everybody talks about. I think they're really good at linebacker too. Their line, they took Desmond Umezulu out of the portal, and I love Desmond, and I think I don't think he's starting for them, but they took him to get some pass rushing oomph. And Des got after it sometimes, but we saw him play for 3 years. I do think his best football is ahead of him, and he'll be a significantly better player, and would have been here too. But you see taking that kind of guy, interesting, interesting, And I don't know that defense under Cade Womack's been as good as I expected. So if it was not the University of Alabama. And they deserve the benefit of the doubt. I don't know that, Carolina people aren't expecting to go over there and win. If the issues that they have on paper now were not adequately solved. Because one thing with DeBoer, it's a little different than Saban. Saban, you knew it. It was 4 or 5 star factory. Everybody was supposed to be good. DeBoer can kind of go find guys. So maybe a little different way. So they may be very good. But I think after Alabama is when some will know more, we'll kind of get a better gauge on it. You can either feel good or bad, depending. And Kentucky comes in, and then Florida, and then that's the first half of the season. So by the open date, we should have a good feeling on this team. And that's a Captain Obvious episode of Coffee. But I didn't want to talk about that. I wanted to talk about the what ifs, expectations, all that good stuff today. We have Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show, and the show from 10 to 1 today. Matt Smith, Smitty, check him out on fourquarterfriday.com if you're a high school sports fan. Check that out. If you are a member of, all right, so there's two sites, right? If you're a member of the Big Spur Gamecock Central, you get the articles, all the premium articles on Four Quarter Friday. You can read them throughout the whole On Three Rivals network. So that's good. So go over there and just check it out and read. It's part of your membership. If you are not, and you're more of a casual Gamecock fan that doesn't get on the message board and all that, but you like to listen to podcasts and read, but you love high school football, you can join Four Quarter Friday. Same special, same price. I think it's $11.99 a month. If you join up today for $1, and then your annual membership renews for 1 year at a 50% discount, that's pretty good. You also get all of the On Three and Rivals national stuff, which is if you want to keep up with what's going on in college football and want to adjust the facts, check that out. If you're a Clemson person or you like both in-state teams, there is a fraction of the population in South Carolina that does. You also get to read the very fine, outstanding Clemson site, TigerIllustrated.com. Those guys, as far as Clemson goes, and Gamecock fans are cringing right now. I get it. I get it. But if you were a Tiger, you would love you some Tiger Illustrated. And it's a premium site, so you have to pay for a subscription. And if you join Four Quarter Friday, the Big Spur, Gamecock Central, you can still read all that stuff. And so anyway, I encourage everybody to go take advantage of the specials we have and sign up. Four Quarter Friday, the show, or the Four Quarter Friday show. Matt and Rob will be back tomorrow morning. Chief Sports App, YouTube, X, and all of that happiness. So hopefully everybody has a very good day today. And we're going to talk to you later on the show. This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. I'm out. Holla.